Earlier today, President Bush announced that the U.S. will provide an initial $35 million in aid to tsunami victims. Money's needed now to provide clean water, food, and adequate shelter. Later, much more money will be needed, an estimated $14 billion for reconstruction. Joining us now to talk about the economic costs of natural disasters is Fred Bergsten, director of the Institute for International Economics. He's with us by phone from his office here in Washington. Nice to talk with you again.
Good to see you. Good to be with you, Neil.
In natural disasters such as this tsunami, focus is, of course, put on immediate needs, fixing damaged fishing boats, repairing nets. All of that is going to be an important factor in economic recovery, no?
It is, but I think it's important to realize that, fortunately, the economic costs of even this massive human disaster are not seeming to be so large. I don't want anything I say to detract from the human tragedy, which is obviously enormous, but it could have been much worse. The tsunami did not hit any major ports like Singapore or Hong Kong. It did not really hit very large population centers like Jakarta or any of the other big cities in the region. So even in the short run, and despite the immense human tragedy, the economic costs are fortunately not so enormous.
After news of the tsunami made its way around the world, there was considerable concern amongst insurance companies and reinsurance companies. Now, it turns out they say not an awful lot of what was hit was insured.
Well, that's the another aspect of what I said. You get fishing villages hit, you get some tourist resorts, which probably were covered, like in Phuket in Thailand, but these were not major economic centers, not major industrial areas, not even major service facilities like ports and big tourist regions. So, yeah, even the immediate impact in terms of loss of valuable real estate and financial assets does not seem to be so enormous.
Doesn't that make it more difficult, though, in terms when you're looking at reconstruction? Obviously, if you've got your fishing boat insured, replacing it is relatively easy.
It adds to the human tragedy for the individuals involved. Many of these areas that were hit in eastern India, even in southern Thailand, certainly in Sumatra, these are poor areas of poor countries. They're not at the very bottom of the world income list, but they are very poor areas, and these people, unfortunately, as indicated by their not being insured, are not very high up the economic ladder. On the one hand, as I say, that means that the net effect on the country's economies are not so large. On the other hand, for the individuals involved, the tragedy is compounded.
In the long run, can such disasters, and again, this is the human dimension removed from it, of course, that is an unmitigated disaster, but on the economic front, can such disasters in the end have a positive effect?
Perverse as it seems, disasters of this type usually do have positive long-term effects. The reconstruction process itself requires a lot of new investment, some of it in this case financed by foreign assistance, but there will be new investment that will create construction contracts, that will generate jobs, that will boost economic growth in the short to medium run. Moreover, even for the longer run, the reconstruction may produce more efficient facilities and more extensive facilities. Again, back to the tourist facilities in Phuket. When they put up new resort hotels, they'll be more modern, they'll be more attractive, they'll probably bring in more people in the future. So again, although it seems perverse, the net effect of these things frequently is to boost economic activity, at least for a short to medium run, and to improve the underlying infrastructure and therefore the long-term prospects as well.
Can you give us an example of how this might work closer to home, for example, the four hurricanes that hit Florida this year?
Well, I was just in Florida over the weekend. In fact, at the part of Florida that was in the epicenter of two of the hurricanes around West Palm Beach and that area. Two, three months later, you don't even see any residue of the hurricanes themselves, and the economy is continuing to hum along. So the net effects were not too great in that case, one way or the other. But there is new home building. There are new apartments and other facilities being constructed that were damaged in the storms, new roofs going on, new plumbing, stuff like that, and that increases economic activity. The most far-reaching cases, of course, are wars. When countries have been devastated by wars, again, tragic as that is, they often experience prolonged economic recoveries in the aftermath. The most dramatic cases are after the Second World War, when Japan and Germany were both literally flattened in 1945. Those two countries experienced economic booms for the next 20 to 30 years. Now, it was not simply due to reconstruction from the war, but that had a lot to do with it. And the fact that there was modern, cutting-edge, state-of-the-art equipment put in place as they recovered gave them a competitive edge that they had the wit, the ability to exploit over the longer run. So even in that most extreme case of nationwide devastation from wars, the longer-run economic effects, again, perversely, are often quite positive.
Yeah, there was some wry complaints from British officials in about 1955 or afterwards, wondering if they had been better off winning or losing. They had tongues in cheek, at least on that point.
No,
but
that's right. And there used to be a joke going around, if poor countries wanted to develop, the best thing to do was get in a war, lose it, and then get U.S. assistance and a Marshall Plan to come out from under, and you'll be better off. Obviously, nobody goes through that, but the joke does have its serious side.
I think that was the mouse that roared, Leonard Wibberley.
The mouse that roared carried out that strategy.
Yes. So as we look at this, obviously, short-term, our focus is on the humanitarian disaster, the enormous losses that everybody had. But what will you be looking at in the weeks and months ahead to see whether some of these governments, and we're talking about a wide variety of governments, all the way to Somalia, which if it has a government, it's not running much of the country. But what opportunities they seize in this situation?
Yeah, that's the key thing. In the very short run, can they put together reconstruction plans and proposals that will attract the financing needed to get them going? Much of that is going to be foreign assistance, hopefully on grant terms from donors like the United States and the international agencies. That's the first thing. Can they get their act together quickly enough to give reasonable prospect for using the offered assistance? I'm sure there will be plenty of foreign assistance on offer, and it'll be allocated among countries in part on the basis of which look like using it better. So that's point one. Then point two is whether for the longer run they have in place the kind of policy environments that will foster productive use of the reconstructed facilities. Whether it's farmland in eastern India, whether it's fisheries on Sumatra, whether it's tourist facilities in Thailand, all of those require a positive, constructive economic policy environment to bring in the investment in the first place and then to foster productive, efficient use thereof thereafter. And those, as with the fundamentals of economic development in poor countries, will at the end of the day determine whether all this turns out favorably and whether the unsought opportunities that do now exist for new investment, new facilities, improved economic infrastructure, whether those are in fact realized in each of the devastated areas.
Fred Bergston, thanks very much.
Good to talk.
Fred Bergston, director of the Institute for International Economics, joined us by phone from his office in Washington, D.C. And a reminder, if there's a story you'd like to follow up on in our year end-of-the-year review, that's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, send us an email, totn@npr.org. Be sure to put year-end update in the subject line. We're going to tell you about a postal employee who was caught up in the Florida hurricanes, and we'll give you the latest on the theft of the artwork, The Scream, by Edvard Munch. What would you like to hear about? Again, send us an email. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.